Welcome to the Payments Journal Podcast. And here is your host, Ryan Mack.
Welcome to the Payments Journal Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Mack. Now, we live in a world where data is very abundant, but at the same time, in the right hands, can be very valuable. Now, in the hands of a fraudster, data can be very detrimental to individuals or organizations, but in the hands of organizations looking to thwart fraudsters' activities, regardless of their industry vertical, data can certainly be a very powerful tool. But there are further complications that come along with the abundancy of data, and that is the data, as we often refer to it on the podcast, is in silos. And to take it one step further, accessing that data for end use can also become quite a challenge. So to dive deeper into this and unpack how a recent integration between GIACT's Epic platform and WorldCheck looks to take on and solve these issues, I'm joined by James Murfin, who is the Global Head of Digital Identity and Financial Crime at Refinitiv, and Tim Sloan, who is the VP of Payments Innovation at Mercator Advisor Group. So there's certainly a lot of data and insight to unpack on today's episode. So without any further delays, let's start the show.
So James and Tim, it's an absolute pleasure to have you on today's episode. And I'm really excited to have you both on here because recently in the news, we saw this headline in terms of, James, your organization, Refinitiv, is introducing this end-to-end single API solution that addresses the customer lifecycle. And really what it was talking about within that announcement was also the Epic platform and WorldCheck and the integration here. So I'm curious then from your perspective, James, can you give us a little bit of an overview of the Epic platform and WorldCheck, and then also maybe talk about how this integration of those two organizations is really advantageous for both?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Ryan. I'm happy to do that. So we have announced, as you say, that we've brought together the GIACT Epic platform and Refinitiv's WorldCheck, which is our risk intelligence data set that's used by financial services firms and corporates and companies around the world to help them look at regulatory risk. We've brought that together through the platform and are now making it available via a single API. We think this is a big step forward because it's a combined solution that can help our customers to have a holistic approach to managing fraud and risk, thinking about supporting them throughout the customer lifecycle. What I mean by that is there's been historically lots of point solutions out there that help with certain steps in a customer lifecycle, but by bringing these together, we're able to help them with onboarding and at enrollment. We're able to help when customers are making payments, when they're changing things around their accounts, and we can also help them from a compliance perspective and due diligence. And so we believe that bringing it together through one platform, combining the unique data sets that we have as LSEG, Refinitiv and GIACT, it can really help clients, whether it's around consumer or business identity, as I say, payments, compliance risk throughout the life cycle. And then we believe, from having talked to customers and been out there in the market, it's actually quite unique to be able to bring these data assets and capabilities together through a single API and through a single integration.
You know, as I think about the challenges associated with managing risk and building risk models, a lot of it has to do with what data elements you have access to. And having looked at what your combined companies are bringing to the market in the way of breadth of data, it's breathtaking. It covers pretty much every aspect of data around people, events, and corporates that one could imagine. And that goes a long way towards helping companies build their machine learning models, right? When you're building a feature set, you need to identify the data elements that are going to have the most impact on its analysis. And so this single API with a broad availability of data gives them lots of flexibility.
Yeah, I agree, Tim. I think, you know, that breadth of data is one thing. And I think there's a number of companies out there that can provide a lot of data. I think it's how do you actually make that data available in a way that makes sense to customers for the use cases they're looking at. And I think as we look at the combination of Epic and WorldCheck, looking at traditional and emerging risks is really important because the landscape's changing. You know, where the problems are coming up and where criminals are going after organizations and enacting fraud is changing rapidly. You know, we're seeing it around payments. We're seeing it as more and more countries and you know, customers move to real-time payments. It's been a huge challenge. We're seeing identity and vendor fraud and, you know, account takeovers. The nature of those is changing rapidly. I mean, we've talked a lot recently to customers about things like business email compromise. That's becoming a huge problem. And the materiality of the impact of those kind of crimes is huge. You start thinking about seven-figure payments going amiss as opposed to, you know, small consumer payments. So that's been a big issue. But as you say, it's about bringing that breadth of data together in an intelligent way and in a way that customers can easily consume it and use it to solve their problems. And that's one of the challenges that we're really trying to help with this combination of capabilities.
You know, I'm really glad that both of you brought up the single API there, because, you know, my next question, maybe it's a simple one, maybe it's kind of 101, but I'd really love to understand this a little bit better. So James, let's start with you. So what, from your perspective, what are the benefits of operating under a single API solution then?
Yeah, I think it's easy to say. I mean, lots of people talk about APIs and they, you know, it's become part of our language, even for non-technologists like me. But I think the reality is it's actually really important. We're seeing all of our customers looking to consolidate vendors. You know, they're trying to make it easier to work with a smaller number of partners that can support them across a lot of the challenges that they're dealing with. So that's number one. I think bringing broad sets of capability together through that single API in a way that it's easily understood by the team that are looking to implement it on the development side, but also the business users that are trying to solve real use cases and real problems, helping them understand the power of the data and the technology that sits behind that API, I think is really, really important. So whether you're sitting there trying to solve an identity verification challenge at the point of onboarding, or whether you're sitting there trying to solve a problem where you're trying to make sure that somebody can't take over a customer's account, add a beneficiary and siphon funds off to somebody that shouldn't be getting them, whether you're looking at, you know, adding new products to an existing relationship and doing that in a robust way that is easy for the consumer to go and implement, whichever one of those you're dealing with, you know, our job now is to really make sure that you understand how you can use the API that we have to protect you, and equally importantly, to protect your customer in all of those different things that you're trying to offer. So we think the single API is a great way to help our customers. It makes it easier to manage that integration. It helps them think about different ways that they can go and roll out new products in a confident way. So I think often when you talk about the kind of products that we sell, you end up thinking about protection, cost of compliance, you know, cost of meeting with regulatory obligations or cost of protecting your customers. If you actually implement a solution like we've got here with a single API in the right way, it can actually be a growth enabler as well. So it can start to support you going into new areas, onboarding new customers confidently. So it becomes a growth enabler as opposed to a cost of doing business, which I think is quite exciting.
I'd love to see the architecture of the API. You know, the challenges with the API is trying to get multiple use cases to operate within it. And sometimes as the use cases multiply, if there isn't a way to have a common view of the data through the API, then the API starts to offer so many options that it gets overly complex. It's great you figured out how to modulate that problem. I'd love to sometime dig into the architecture to see how you did it.
Yeah, we'd be pretty happy to, you know, talk you through that too. I think you highlight a really important point. And I think, again, that's part of the benefit of Refinitiv and GIACT coming together, which is 16 or 17 years of experience on the GIACT side of bringing increasingly complex solutions to market through a single API. And that's something they've always done. Doing that to support millions of transactions every day, which again is something that GIACT's done well. And then also the 20 years of experience that we've had on the Refinitiv side of managing this regulatory intelligence data and the growth in that data set, and also the sophistication of the way that customers want to consume that. You know, it's gone from being a product that customers wanted to take in a flat file and a data file once a day to something that they need to take real time through an API and that they need to be updated as and when there's a change in that data set. And that's something that we've managed as both organizations and really brought that expertise together. So we'd be happy to go through that with you, Tim, and show you how we've done it.
Excellent. Now, James, for my next question here, you know, we're really kind of talking about fraud here. And as we know, fraud will span across all industry verticals. And on Payments Journal, you know, a vast majority of our audience is involved with the payments ecosystem here. But as I said, you know, fraud spans across all of those, all different types of verticals here. So then I'm kind of curious, as we're taking a look and we're discussing the, you know, the Epic platform and WorldCheck integration and the single API, have you kind of really tailored this product to it just the payments ecosystem, or does it span beyond to really kind of cover all different types of verticals that experience fraud?
That's a great question, Ryan. The product or the platform supports multiple verticals, industries, use cases. It's one of the benefits of what we offer, but it's also one of the challenges of what we offer because it is so broad. I think about customers we've talked about just in the last week and the challenges that they're having. It's cut across everything from crypto to payments to banks to insurance to, you know, lending to SMEs to real estate. I mean, it's so broad. I think that challenge or that opportunity is, you know, it's been fueled and accelerated by the pandemic as well. Everybody's been looking at their business models that we would have all thought would never be digital 18 months ago are now starting to digitize. And so, you know, that creates challenges and it creates huge opportunity for fraudsters. I mean, if you look at the fraud figures over the last couple of years, fraud grew nearly 50% from 2019 to 2020. It was over $700 billion in 2020. The estimates that I've seen suggest that that's going to be $760-770 billion this year. I think that's probably on the low side. I think we're probably realistically heading towards a $1 trillion problem here, or a $1 trillion fraud industry for the criminals and the fraudsters. So that's hitting every business. You know, you can think about different types of fraud. One of the ones we've seen recently a lot of, and our customers have been coming to us with real examples of where they've been losing money and where they're looking for help, is around business email compromise. The prize for the fraudsters with those kind of techniques is huge. You're not looking at a small consumer payment, which is equally painful for a consumer if it's a few hundred dollars. But as a business, when you're starting to take over those accounts, you can be talking about a seven-figure payment. So the prize is significant. And it's no surprise to me that you're starting to see those kind of, you know, the size of the incidence of fraud that's happening. So we're seeing that growing. It's relevant across all industries. I think the other thing that's really interesting is fraudsters are being very creative in the way that they go after businesses. And it illustrates the challenge of implementing point solutions as opposed to implementing a platform like we're offering. We had one customer that came to us. They'd been trying to protect themselves and their customers when they were adding accounts to a relationship. So they were using micro deposits to do that. We're all familiar with that as a technique. You know, you link your bank account, you look at it over the next 3 or 4 days and look for two small deposits that go into your account, somewhere between a penny and a dollar, or a cent and a dollar. And the fraudsters in this example were actually going after those micro deposits. They set up 16,000 accounts and got two micro deposits for each of those and ran off with, you know, several thousand dollars, several tens of thousands of dollars, actually. So the client was looking for a different solution to try and solve that problem. But I think it's a great example of how creative the fraudsters are and how broad the challenge is that we're all dealing with here.
Absolutely. Never underestimate how clever the criminals are and how they work together in packs and share what they've learned. It spreads like wildfire.
It does, Tim. And I think what I think is really interesting, and I think one of the challenges that we're dealing with as an industry, is depending on that vertical that you're in or that specific industry, some areas there tends to be a lot more collaboration and information sharing amongst players than in others. And I think actually one area where we're seeing a lot of information being shared, and it's certainly an area where there's been some challenges, is in the crypto space. You know, crypto firms, because maybe they're a bit newer and the way that they're actually going to market, they're working together to share intelligence around fraud and around challenges in, you know, from a financial crime perspective. And they're actually starting to share amongst the industry how they can solve those problems. We haven't necessarily seen that level of collaboration in some of the other areas that are also suffering from fraud. So I think it's really interesting how particular verticals or industries are trying to address this.
We were working with couple of organizations that were looking to create a pool where they could share their knowledge. The lawyers got involved and it all became a major problem around cooperating competitors, right? So there's always challenges, but I think the Biden administration is at least trying to put together a structure by which that kind of planning can take place. Whether they can execute it or not, time will tell.
But this is, I think, highlighting part of the challenge as well and why that number is so big when you look at fraud. And it's something that came up on a webinar I was on recently where there was representatives from the FBI and from the IRS that look at these issues. And they said, when you look at it, 95% of criminals and fraudsters get away with this. It's so hard to actually go and pursue these cases and actually in some ways, the way that the market is set up, to your point, Tim, around information sharing, for example, it makes it really hard to share information between organizations that would help to track down these criminals. And again, I think that comes back to, you know, why we're offering the data and the products and the platform in the way that we are. It's to try and help our customers as far as humanly possible to be able to get access to the best data, you know, to protect themselves against these criminals that are quite honestly having a field day today with the environment that we're operating in and what's been happening with the pandemic.
Yeah, I certainly think that's absolutely fantastic. And for my next question here, you know, I think that we've kind of addressed it at a little bit of a high level, but I really want to get into the weeds, so to speak, around it. So I'm really kind of curious then, James, how will this integration really address fraud concerns that we've been discussing here today?
Yeah, I think we've touched on it, Ryan. So I think, you know, the scale of the problem is very clear. It's absolutely huge. The reality is, in the way that institutions and organizations have been trying to solve for this, historically, it's been very siloed in the approach that the organizations have taken. And I say that in from two contexts. One is how they're structured organizationally to actually deal with these problems. And, you know, you give an example, you have a team that look at fraud, you have a team that look at potentially identity, you have another team that look at financial crime or compliance. And so these teams are off doing what they do and another team looking at cyber. By structuring that way and then thinking about the problem in that way and thinking about the solutions that you implement, you end up solving for discrete problems and potentially buying solutions and point solutions to do that. So that causes a challenge. It creates vulnerabilities between those solutions. And that's where the fraudsters like to find those quickly. And they use technology to go after those vulnerabilities and to attack them at scale. So they fraudsters have become very good at doing that and exploiting gaps and point solutions. So delivering this integrated offering, we think, helps to mitigate that risk. We also firmly believe that you need to think about the entire customer lifecycle as you think about addressing fraud. You've got to think about what your customers want, how they're interacting with you through that entire lifecycle, from the point they open the account to when they transact or work with you, when they change things about their account. And you need to think about all of the different points of vulnerability there. We believe that through the single API, we can help to support you through that. So as I say, whether it's enrollments and onboarding, payments, you know, identity related challenges, or from a compliance perspective, we help. And we're fairly confident that nobody yet has been able to offer that single fraud and risk mitigation solution that does support throughout the lifecycle. And bringing together these capabilities, Refinitiv and GIAC are able to help with that.
I think anybody who deals with loans and credit recognize the challenges of bust outs. It's really critical that you look across the entire life cycle, because they'll sit there and build up their credit and then take it and run. So you really need to stay on top.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So before we wrap things up here, James, you know, I certainly think this recent announcement is absolutely fantastic, but I am curious then, of what it is that you see for the future of fraud solutions at Refinitiv.
So we obviously, we're announcing this now. We think this is a big step forward. We've worked very quickly since we closed the acquisition of GIAC to bring the capabilities together. But we're also looking at the future for the business and for the capabilities in a holistic way. So trying to make sure, to Tim's point, we build on that expertise and we build on that capability to deliver multiple data sets and capabilities through that single API. So we're going to continue to invest in that way. We are going to continue to innovate and think about where fraud is going and the kind of protection that our customers need, and how can we make it easy for them to benefit from capability that's out there. Some of that's going to be ours. Some of that is going to be using and bringing together other data sets that support, you know, the use cases that our customers are trying to solve for. So we will continue to enhance. You can expect to see more announcements from us through the second half of this year around additional capability that we're going to bring through the platform. Unfortunately, fraud is not going to go away, and we're going to see this continue to be a challenge for our customers. We're really focused on continuing to deliver world-class solutions that can really help customers across industries, across functions, and across job roles to protect their own organization and their customers from, you know, increasingly complex and costly types of fraud. So we will continue to do that. we'll continue to invest. The other point I'd make as well, and I think one of the reasons that we think that this API is really important, is there's a big gap in the market today between the largest tier one players and the budgets and capabilities that they're able to throw against this problem. Now, you've got tier one banks that are spending billions of dollars on technology, and they've got fantastic pools of resources and expertise that they can tap into. But the reality is that they're competing against small players, and you've got small community banks and newer entrants that are entering the market that don't have the budgets. They don't have the expertise in-house to go and try and deal with that challenge. And unfortunately, fraud tends to move quickly to the weakest link. So we're really trying to make sure that we're able to offer our platform and offer as much capability to players irrespective of size. So we believe that with this, the smallest players in the market can get access to great data and great capability that can help to protect them and their customers. That puts them on a more level playing field with some of the mature organizations that have got much bigger budgets and deeper pockets to protect them.
A great goal.
Excellent. Well, I think we can end it on that note there. So James, Tim, thank you so much for taking the time today for speaking to me about Refinitiv's end-to-end single API solution that's addressing the customer lifecycle. And I hope to have you both back on the podcast real soon.
Thanks Ryan. James.